Welcome to the AI Ireland podcast, your window into the world of AI innovation on the island of Ireland. Join us as we explore how AI is harnessed to tackle both business and societal challenges, revealing the cutting-edge solutions emerging from this vibrant AI community. Don't forget to subscribe for the latest updates and insights in the world of AI. It's Mark Kelly, founder of AI Ireland and the AI Awards. Welcome to the AI Ireland podcast. And today we've got Luca Longo. I'm so happy to have Luca on the show. Luca has been nominated for the AI Awards 3 years out of 6. And last year he won AI Person of the Year. Give you a little bit of an overview about Luca. Luca is Associate Professor at AI and Cognitive Load at TUI Dublin. He's also founder of World Conference on Explainable AI. And Luca is one of these people that if you wanted to know really about AI from the applied or from academic, in terms of what's hype, what's not, in terms of what's, how can it be used, Luca is a person that you would want to reach out, and he's doing some inspiring work with his team in Dublin. Luca, thank you very much for joining us on the show today.
Well, good afternoon, Mark, and thank you very much for having me here today.
Luca, how did you get into the world of AI, and tell us about some of the work that you and your team are currently doing?
I've been doing computer science, informatics since I was 9. So I was coding since I was kid. So it's something that is intrinsic of my personality. AI, as you know, was born 50, and has evolved in the last few couple of decades, thanks for the computational power that now we have access. And I've been in Technological University Dublin for 10 years now, and I did my PhD in artificial intelligence at Trinity College Dublin. At the time, I was working a lot on automated reasoning, which is the other side of the coin of AI. Now everybody is focused on learning, so machine learning, deep learning. Of course, I have been doing these things with my PhD scholar and postdoc. I founded my artificial intelligence and cognitive load research lab a few years ago. We are now 16 or 18 people, all international people with different cultures, and they can bring different perspectives to the table, and we enjoy a lot of doing research. My main focus is on the development of a computational model of cognitive load, like the name of my lab says, using electroencephalography, so electroencephalographic data. And as you know, this data is high in volume, very noisy, non-stationary, so in short, it's a mess. And therefore, we need to resort to computational methods that are efficient to process this huge amount of data significantly. And that's why we have been using deep learning and to create this computational model of cognitive load, something that is not really existing in the world, even because a definition of cognitive load is itself a problem. In fact, cognitive load is an ill-defined construct, as the psychologist says. So we employ various techniques from the deep learning umbrella, such as convolutional neural network, recurrent neural networks, hybrid neural networks. We do supervised and unsupervised learning, for example, autoencoder, variational autoencoders, that are all techniques to process this huge amount of data and in somehow automatically learn the salient relevant features of basically brain activation. Now, this model, as is a common problem in deep learning, they work. We can use deep learning to create models that are that have high performance, high accuracy, high precision recall in case of binary problem or low error. The problem is that the technical issue is that these are considered black box. And that's why the whole things about explainable artificial intelligence. XAI is a branch of AI that is focused on developing methods that can be either applied on top of these black boxes constructed with machine learning, or even creating intrinsically interpretable method to enable various things. For example, enabling trustworthy AI, enabling responsible AI, transparency, allowing people to retrace the inference of a machine in an explainable way. But then we go a little bit deeper and we have explainability. Explainability, like cognitive load, is another ill-defined construct. And that's why last year I had this idea of creating, founding this World Conference on Explainable Artificial Intelligence. Why? Because there are many workshops all around the world associated to the big conferences, but they are isolated. These guys are very strong scholars and groups of people in Poland, in Germany, in America, but they are individually, you know, advancing the field. So I thought that a niche conference on exactly this topic would have provided something for the community. Last year we did the first edition in Lisbon, and we already have more than 200 people, which for a first time in the conference is good.
Lucas, so we just take that back, and thank you for that comprehensive overview as well. And you kind of, you know, from talks before, you talked about that kind of left side of the brain, that kind of right side of the brain. With the research you and the team are doing and working on, tell us about some of the applications you'd hope that you'll be able to help with people in real world case studies or examples that we can actually further ourselves.
Yeah. Well, focusing, for example, on the concept of processing EEG data, we can study brain activation using the problem of analyzing brain activation is that this data is a high magnitude, and that's why we resort to deep learning technique. Why? Because the brain itself is a very complex machine, and understanding the activation of the brain over time is not an easy task. Deep learning, for example, recurrent neural network and the convolutional neural network can help in establishing, for example, identifying which part of the brain are responsible for, are activated more than the other. And for example, we can predict if a person has Alzheimer or not, if a person has Parkinson or not, frontotemporal dementia, and other neurodegenerative disorders. A human cannot do this mapping. That's why we use deep learning to automatically learn from an higher volume of data this mapping. The problem is that we know this mapping works, but we cannot explain that. And the stakeholder of this model is a doctor, is a clinician. So they need to have a set of explanations that are reliable, that are rational, that are transparent, and then they can augment their decision, their diagnosis, with this layer of explainability. So this is, for example, some example application of what we have been doing in healthcare.
So when we look at it from the healthcare perspective, and everybody that we know of, or family members or close friends, has some type of, you know, neurodegenerative disease, either it comes to Alzheimer's or dementia, and that's growing and growing. And as you rightly said, it's very difficult to map this out because of so much there. We need to use tools like deep learning to do that. When you and the team are actually involved in your research, how do you start to pinpoint the type of problems you want to solve? Because I'm sure there's a temptation to go after so many different types of problems, but you want to try to make an impact across maybe a significant few. So how do you make that decision on the priorities?
Well, some of the problem comes from the funders, for example, SFI, the Irish Research Council, or internal maximum funding in the university, and also the proposal of the actual PhD student, for example. So the problem comes from these sources. And then we go backwards and we start identifying which type of data we have. So this can dictate which type of neural network we can train, and then which type of biases data set might have. And then we have all the to face all the challenges. For example, do we have a server where we can get a server to train our data? Can a server in the cloud enough? But now we don't have the money to pay this. So there are a lot of technical challenges, not to talk about writing the code in Python or testing all the library across application. And this takes years to develop. Something that unfortunately most of the people do is they just select, they just create new problems. Like they apply deep learning for predicting something, but maybe this prediction eventually is not used by anyone. Now, if bachelor or master students, they do this, okay, it's part of learning and that's fine. But PhD or more senior researchers, I think we need to identify first a tangible need from the society, from a field, and then go backwards and see what can we do to solve this need. For example, it's clear that predicting Parkinson or dementia, for example, early Parkinson, is critical for you know the understanding of this neurodegenerative disease and also for the health of a person. And so there is a tangible need everywhere in the world. And then we go backwards and we say, okay, now are we going to use electroencephalography, which are basically a set of time series, and then we need to identify which processing method are suitable for time series, or are we going to use fMRI scans, which are images, two-dimensional, three-dimensional, and then we need to use other type of networks. And all these decisions also dictate how much time we need to train a model, how much resources we have. So basically, these are the reason how we usually work in research. But from my perspective, my main goal is to create a computational model of cognitive load. Why? Because I think it's something that is more generalizable. So if we have a base in which we can explain brain activation reliably, then maybe we can open up new path for research and create various application and solve various problems.
Wonderful. We could talk about this all day because it's such an incredible topic. And again, it's inspiring to me to watch the impact you and the team are actually working on. But if we kind of just take a bit of a sideward step, the World Forum, Explainable AI, I know this is something that's very, very, you know, close to your heart. And with AI becoming, you know, it is now mainstream. And 6 years ago when I founded AI Ireland, it certainly wasn't that. What it is now, what is the goal of setting this up, the conference, bringing different people together? You're being very, very specific in what you want to achieve here, which I like. So tell me a little bit more about that.
Well, I guess in general, having conferences is good for scholars like me to see advances in the field, but also for the public to understand what is actually artificial intelligence. I think there is a bigger misconception. People now think they are all experts in artificial intelligence, but then when they ask, can you code something in Python? They say, what is Python? A snake? So you see, as you say, it became mainstream that I feel the word artificial intelligence is abused. Okay. So the conference for the public and all these documentary transmission in the televisions are good to calm down people and actually explain what AI is. AI is a tool that, as you said offline, is getting too critical, and we need to start controlling this tool because it advances faster than people can consume and use it. And that's why the AI Act, hopefully, is going to be approved. It takes time because, you know, governance and regulation takes time to, and policy takes time to shape, but it is really needed. And all these conferences, for example, my conference on the World Conference on Explainable Artificial Intelligence is about showing the advances in this niche field, well, it's not a longer niche, but also bringing together people from different fields, from the public sector, from finance, from the healthcare sector, scholars in machine learning, but also people working in philosophy, psychologists, neuroscientists, and sit all together in the same venue, share our own single problem and start to integrate these to all these things meaningfully. And just like this, we can develop what they call responsible and trustworthy AI. Responsible cannot be measured. Trustworthiness cannot be measured. It's a consequence of the application of these basic concepts, which is unifying deep learning, statistics, mathematics, but also psychology, cognitive science, and neuroscience. And it's really fascinating if we can do something at the intersection.
So many different opportunities to bring people together with the conference. And now more than ever, we need to have explainable AI at the crux of what we do, having that clear, transparent process and workflow that we know how the AI made the decision. And with the AI EU Act, you know, soon to be in regulated when probably the next 16 to 18 months, this is a very, very timely event because people now are switched on, because if they don't be, there's going to be substantial fines that, if I'm not mistaken, up to 34 million euro, you know, this could wipe out a business. So getting this right, and it's not as easy as, well, it's not our product or service that use AI. It could be a company that you hire to use and you're putting your data onto it. So there's a big impact for people to understand clearly how they need to toe the line with this. So it becomes, in one area, very interesting from the collaboration perspective, from academics, but also people who are working in all those industries, as you said, finance, public sector, bringing them together to understand, listen, this is the future, and you're now going to become accountable for the decisions that you make. So I could see it's really big. So tell me a little bit more, where is it hosted? How can sponsors get involved in terms of sponsoring it? How can people get tickets for us? Tell me a little bit more, and we'll put all these details on the website as well.
Yes, thanks for asking. Just let me allow a funny comment. I think a few years ago I was saying the AI winter is coming. And with the AI Act, the winter will be coming in AI. And probably it's a good thing to put a pause on this acceleration of in development and start regulating the sector. Anyway, this is just a funny statement from me. But the World Conference on Explainable Artificial Intelligence will be held in Malta, Valletta, beautiful Valletta, between the 17th and the 19th of July 2024. We have already the main sponsor, which is the Malta Digital and Innovation Authority. So it's basically the government, and we are very happy. I discovered that Malta is a smaller version of Ireland, where a lot of companies are relocated there. Microsoft and many other are there. And if sponsor would like to join, they can send an email to the organization. The website is xaiworldconference.com, and all the details are there. There are people helping in the organization in answering emails, organizing, you know, the event, the website, the graphics. There are people involved, and I really believe that this event will be the leading event in XAI in the incoming decade. A lot of things needs to be done. We have a lot of things to improve. As you know, the organization of the conference is an effort from the community for the community. And so the more people are involved, the better, because eventually it's not really for profit, but is for the benefits of the community, the scholars, but also for the benefit probably of the public eventually. An email on the website, organization at xaiworldconference.com, and we can start discussing the opportunities with potential partners and sponsors.
And it's going to be a very, very exciting event. It's funny, we don't have a time for it now, but it's interesting what you said about the comment with the AI winter and the regulation, how you think this is coming. You could be challenged on the point of a lot of organizations weren't making their decision to jump into AI because they were concerned about regulation, copyright, infringement, But now with regulation, they're feeling more comfortable going on their journey, the investment, because they feel like there's some rules and guidelines around it. Again, it's a separate podcast that we can have this specifically on that, depending on who you talk to. But one from it later. But Luca Longo, thank you very much for joining us on the AI Ireland podcast today.
Thank you very much, Mark. And I hope to see you at the conference in Malta this summer.
I'm really, really excited to unveil my new book, AI Unleashed, Navigating the AI Revolution as a Business Executive, which is now accessible to purchase on Amazon and Amazon Kindle. This publication is the fruit of half a decade's worth of meticulous research and high-level conversations with experts in the field, both in Ireland and globally. The book is particularly timely, featuring current discussions on AI governance in the European Union and North America. If you're aiming to grasp the full scope of AI, ready your enterprise for its transformative power and utilize it to your advantage, this book is specifically crafted for you. It serves as a pragmatic guide, clarifying misconceptions and presenting real-world insights for leaders entering the AI sphere. The book covers an extensive array of subjects, from AI's role in diverse industries to generative AI applications, and provides guidance on avoiding typical missteps in AI initiatives, all supported by the most recent studies. Additionally, the book highlights case studies and applications that have earned accolades at AI awards throughout the years and amplifies top-notch AI utilization in Ireland. For executives, polyarchitects, or technology aficionados seeking to make sense of the intricate world of AI, AI Unleashed, Navigating AI Revolution is your essential handbook. So it's now available on Amazon. This book furnishes you with the expertise and instruments required to deploy AI more effectively and ethically.